I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. 34 years in the Monterey and Santa Cruz area, returning to the Monterey Fairground the weekend of October 21st and 22nd. It's coming up. It's less than 2 weeks away. You can visit rhodapsychicfair.com to find out the particulars, to see the readers, healers, and vendors that will be there, the lectures that are signed up, and also to download your own discount certificate, $3 off any reading or healing session. Now, you'll need one for each reading and healing session you book, but go ahead and download your certificates and bring them in and plan to have some early Halloween fun. After all, we're getting into that shadow of that time of Halloween when the veils between the worlds are thin, and that means only one thing. It's time for fun. So come to the Rhoda Psychic Fair, Monterey Fairgrounds, October 21st and 22nd. Visit rhodapsychicfair.com for more information. Well, here we are. We are down to the 9th of October already. This year is flowing and rolling fast. For those who attended our quarterly preview on the 29th of October, you know this is a power month that is carrying forward the energy from the August 21st full moon solar eclipse and then our most recent full moon in Aries to carry us forward and transform what you choose to transform in your life. Now, you could sit back and let the transformations just happen to you, but they won't be what you want. Or you can focus and put some intention into it and shift those areas of your life where you want to see some shift, where you want more of or less of, or maybe you just want new, whatever it is. But we're at the 10th of October, and wow, this year has gone fast, and we're headed very quickly into a big year that's going to be all about relationships. But enough of that for now. As you know, I love to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh. He took the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to know that our reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, habits, and beliefs. We've created the reality we're in. No matter how you look around and said, hey, I didn't create that or I didn't do that, we created it. We created the outcomes, we created the choices, we created the direction, and we created the belief system under which we operated that funneled us into those choices and decisions. But the good news is our past thoughts and habits and beliefs don't predict our future because every day we have an opportunity to shift those thoughts, those habits, those beliefs into new ways of thinking and being. And those shifts, those new ways of thinking and being create a new future for us. It's not predestined. It's not predetermined. In Day by Day with James Allen, his words from As a Man Thinketh have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. And that way, it's more digestible. It's easier. Today, for the ninth day of the month, he tells us suffering is a response to pain. Suffering is always the effect of wrong thought in some direction. It's an indication that the individual is out of harmony with himself, with the law of his being. You know, if we think of the Four Noble Truths from Buddha, one of the things that he stressed for us is that all life is about suffering. But really, what is that suffering? That suffering is that life brings outcomes to us that don't always meet our expectations. And we then take those outcomes and turn them into things over which we choose to suffer. So it's the point here that suffering is a response to pain. Suffering is somewhere in us. We have an expectation that is not being met. Somewhere in us, we think things should be different than what they actually are. And the point of all of that is we have control as to how we respond to that premise of suffering, to that idea of pain, to that idea of what's not being met in our life. And we are the ones who choose whether we suffer or whether we accept and resolve and move on and take actions to work for what we want and take actions to work away from what we don't want. So that's the point of suffering is a response to pain. Suffering is always the effect of wrong thought in some direction. It's an indication that the individual is out of harmony with himself and with the law of his being. You know, one of the things I do every day is also read from the Daily Word put out by the Unity Corporation. And the Daily Word for today, October 9th, says, "I am radiant, glorious, and divine as spiritual light breaks through." And I think it's important to put that in the context of yesterday's Daily Word, which said, "I relax into the infinite stream of divine life and I am healed." Are we allowing ourselves in this period of transformation to open up to our own inner light, our own inner divinity? Now, by that, I don't mean we go around preaching to everyone, but each of us is divine and sacred. As I shared at the quarterly preview, each breath we take is sacred. And if we look at our breaths of the taking in of life as sacred, we recognize that what we're doing is feeding our own inner divinity every time we take a breath. And if we relax into that stream of our inner divinity and say, "I will express myself today in a way that is an expression of the true divine being I am, and not the person that I brought out into the world, which is not the true expression of me," then we can come back to today's Daily Word that says, "I am radiant, glorious, and divine as spiritual light breaks through." I am radiant, glorious, and divine as spiritual light breaks through. Allow yourself to consider that in the context of suffering as a response to pain, where suffering is a result of wrong thoughts. The wrong thoughts, once again, are feeding expectations that have gone unmet. So we choose, instead of living in the moment and revering the life that we have, we choose instead to live in the pain for what we see as lack. As we go through this transformation driven from that solstice through the new moon, through the full moon, this is really the time for each of us to get closer and more connected to that divine light we carry within us and become a better expression of our higher self and not the self that we've used to live in the world before now. But let's not spend too much more time on that. Let's go to our segment for today. Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. And he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. Now, his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 8 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. He joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday each month from 5 to 6 p.m. And let's have this musical opening to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I'm your host for this segment, Arnie Buss, as he said. Speaking of listening, what is it about? It's about ways of improving your relationships, all our relationships, by listening from our heart. And I'll talk a little bit today about what I mean by that, what I mean by the conscious, aware heart. It's kind of like that higher self, the part of us that is embodies all of the best and highest aspirations and most soulful and spirit-filled essence of who we are. And you can contact me for information about what I will be up to and ways that you can improve your communication skills. My email is ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com, that's all one word, .com. And my website is www.consciousawareheart.com. Speaking of listening, listening is not about just hearing what the words the other person is saying. It's much, much more. It's about getting deeper into what is being expressed. Have you ever been in a situation where either side of this, where somebody's been talking and you notice the other person really isn't there energetically, and you'll hear the words or speak the words, you know, you're not listening to me. You're not, you know, and the other person says, well, yes, I was listening to you. And of course, you know what the next line is, you could almost write this as a script. The next line is, well, then what did I just say? And then either you or the other person, if you're the one who's throwing this out, will often repeat back pretty much word for word what has been said, or at least more or less what was in the words. And what I want you to notice, if you can recall any situation like this or a similar one, how satisfied was that person when they heard the fact that the words that they said had been echoed back? If your experience is like mine, it's that they weren't satisfied. In other words, what they were noticing is that the other person was only paying attention with part of them. They were listening to the words, but internally there was something else going on, some other narrative. Maybe they were just mentally tapping their foot, waiting for you to stop talking so they could say what they have to say. Maybe they were internally thinking about how to refute what you were saying, you know, so, well, just filled with, oh, yeah, but. And, you know, and the thing is that doesn't mean that everything that we say is perfectly right and wonderful. What this is about, what listening from the heart is about, though, is being that listener. Be that listener who is fully present to the other person. Be that listener who really hears the message that they're conveying. And as you have heard me say, if you've been listening to my segment or heard me, the message is often not in the words themselves. The message is often somewhere else. And by using the kind of effective listening approaches that I try to teach, especially what I call tracking, you can get to what that underlying message is without, you know, kind of cut through the veneer of what the words were saying. Because oftentimes the words are like a veneer, like a cover up of what the true message is. In fact, you may have heard something to the effect of, well, X percent, 90% of communication is nonverbal. I'm skeptical of the number, but I believe in the idea. In other words, much of the message, especially in charged areas, has nothing to do with what the words being said are, but they have to do with all these nonverbal cues. And when they are in discord, when there's a difference between what the words say and what the nonverbal cues say, in almost every case, if not every case, the nonverbal cues are a more accurate depiction of what the other person is saying. You know, so they, classic teenage thing. You know, did you like it? You know, yeah. You know, so. Well, what did the words say? The words, he said, yeah, he said he liked it. Well, the tone of voice said otherwise. So today I'm going to talk about a few things, some of which I've mentioned before, but deserve a second go-round. The first has to do with, you know, how does one do this? You know, you may be thinking to yourself, well, okay, all this talk about being in the aware heart and listening from the heart, that all sounds nice and that's really unicorns and fairy tales. I mean, you don't know the kind of people who I have to deal with. And today I want to talk about, you know, one concept which comes from the Four Agreements, and I call it Q-tip, which is basically the second agreement, and then some other things that we often do when we're in an uncomfortable situation, and they have to do with making other people wrong, with being critical of other people, and just how important it is to stay conscious in those moments. And I'm going to finish up today's segment with setting limits. Now, all of this sounds fine. You say, well, what if, does that mean that I have to agree with everything and go along with everything the other person? And the answer is absolutely not. And the thing is that you can set a limit. You can basically say no with love and with a way which preserves the relationship. And I call that the 1-2. You'll hear what the 1-2 are about. First, what I call Q-tip, which is basically Reese's second agreement. And Q-tip stands for quit taking it personally, or don't take anything personally, I think, to be a little more accurate with the wording. But the concept is the same. See, now, if you delve into this, whenever you hear criticism, remember that it's all about the pain of the one criticizing. In other words, it's never about you. That may sound extreme, and there's you may be thinking, well, I don't know, he's full of it. I'll say it again. When you hear criticism, it is never about you. It is always about the pain of the person who is criticizing you. And that's true whether the criticism is pointed your way, or whether it's pointed to another person's way. See, if there's something going on that's not okay, and that's what I'm going to get to in the second part of the segment, you can always express in a way that doesn't attack, that doesn't criticize, that doesn't blame. You can always express what it is that you want in a way which is not critical. So if you are criticizing, that means that you're not okay. And the thing is that you're not okay with yourself if that's what you're doing. It's so important to recognize that if you find yourself pointing the finger at someone, blaming somebody else, then it's all about you. It's all about your pain. And conversely, whenever you hear criticism, it's all about them. It's all about their pain. Why is this important? Because that pain is really the core of the message which is being conveyed. That pain, which sounds on the surface like criticism, is really some unmet need, some unmet want that the other person is feeling, you know, angry about or frustrated or fearful about. Again, all about their feelings. If they were conscious and something was happening that was not okay, then they would express it in a way which doesn't make anybody wrong, which doesn't attack or criticize or judge. Now, that's true even if they're criticizing someone else. And it's so tempting to jump in the pit with somebody who says, you know, isn't it awful what this person is doing? You know, isn't this person awful because they're doing that? Don't jump into that pit, because that doesn't help that person. It doesn't help them to reinforce the pain that they're in, because that's really what you're doing. Far more effective to track and validate their feelings. Now, their feelings are absolutely justifiable. If somebody has a feeling, if they're afraid, if they're angry, if they're upset, then they have an absolute right to that feeling. Now, thoughts and judgments, on the other hand, you know, sometimes they can be based on something which is not true. And so, you know, this is a topic for another segment. But if you peel back the hood on where do these feelings come from, a lot of times they're driven by thoughts and judgments, which oftentimes are not as accurate as you might think. As a bumper sticker I once saw said, "Don't believe everything you think." So don't play "Ain't They Awful." Don't agree that the other person is a bad person. Now, if we're talking about behavior, see, behavior is, believe it or not, actually quite different than the person themselves. In other words, you can find a certain behavior to be unacceptable, but that doesn't mean that the person is awful. And, you know, all you have to do is read the news to see all kinds of behaviors which are, I think, in a more sane environment would be quite unacceptable. Although interestingly different, depending on what your political perspective is, you find certain behaviors acceptable and others unacceptable, and the flip if you know, on the other side. I mean, for some reason people are bent out of shape over people kneeling during the Pledge of Allegiance, during the national anthem at these football games, and it's kind of unfortunate that if they were a little bit more in their aware heart and be willing to listen to what the kneelers were trying to express, they would understand that. And as difficult as it may be, the converse is also true, that there's a kind of pain going on the part of people who are not okay with this, that, you know, it's one can agree or disagree, but the pain is very real, and there is pain on both sides. That doesn't mean that both sides are equally, you know, okay. But that's a topic for another time. In the context of relationships, if you have a personal relationship with someone, regardless of any of this, then what I'm emphasizing is to hold the relationship to be of more value than being right. You know, there's that saying, you know, would you rather be right than happy? And yeah, you know, like a lot of cliches, there's a grain of truth to that. In other words, what the way I would describe it is, would you rather have a wonderful relationship or win an argument? You know, I've seen people lose friendships because they wanted to win an argument, and that's so sad, because you know, I think people are more important than that. And you know, having a wonderful friendship, a wonderful relationship with someone is more valuable than winning any argument. Now, I'm going to talk about staying conscious. I mean, the term I use is, you know, conscious or conscious aware heart, or being in one's aware heart. And what do I mean by that? The starting place for that is actually with yourself. The place to be in your conscious aware heart is to recognize your own unconditional worth, to not make yourself wrong. It's funny, you know, we all seem to have some kind of inner critic. And that inner critic is that voice inside that beats us up whenever we kind of mess up on in things. And the thing is that the inner critic often is telling us things that we would never tolerate in another person telling us that, but somehow we accept that. So staying conscious means not succumbing to what that inner critic is trying to say, because that inner critic is knocking you down. That inner critic is making you wrong. The inner critic is saying that you're a bad person. And that is debilitating to yourself, and it's also debilitating to any relationship, because it turns out that I truly believe this, and I've seen this played out time and time again. You can only be as okay with the other person as you are with yourself. If you're not okay with yourself, then you can't be okay with the other person. So the second part of being in a conscious, aware heart is to not make anyone else wrong. Start by not making yourself wrong, and then not making anybody else wrong. And in context here, again, by wrong, I mean, by making them wrong, I mean by criticizing or judging them. That doesn't mean, again, that for some reason when I talk about this, I have to keep reminding that doesn't mean that you accept everything. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. See, when this is especially important when you're interacting with with somebody who is upset for whatever, they may be upset with you, and they may be upset with someone else, but it is so critical to stay conscious. And one of my teachers had a wonderful analogy for this. When you fly in an airplane, notice that there's always a pilot and a co-pilot. You know, why do you always need two? Really only one, you know, you only need one person to fly the plane. And at any given time, only one person is at the controls. Otherwise, things would kind of go out of whack. So why is that other person there? Well, just in case something happens to the pilot, then the co-pilot is there to take over. Now, if you're in a difficult conversation, you know, and one person is upset, if you get upset either in reaction to them or in sympathy with them, then it's as if the pilot has gone unconscious and the co-pilot has gone unconscious, and now nobody's flying the plane. And what happens to the plane if nobody's flying it? It's going to crash and burn. So conflicts don't have to be arguments, even when one person's upset, as long as one of you, and that one, I hope, is you who is listening, because the other person may not be listening to this. But conflicts do not have to become arguments. There is such a difference. You know, conflict is when you and I have have two, we have two different opinions, or we have two different things that we want to do, or two different points of view. But that doesn't mean that it has to become an argument. And if you're in a conversation and the other person's upset and you get upset, then it just can't, nothing good can come of that. Nothing good for the outcome of the conversation, and nothing good from the, you know, in the relationship, because that's yet another negative mark on the relationship. And it may even be something very little, but so many relationships die not just by one big thing, but by 1,000 paper cups, you know, 1,000 small things. So a relationship that starts off just wonderful, and nobody can do anything wrong, eventually winds up in a place where it's like everything the other person does is just kind of irritating. You know, how do you get there? You get there by all of these kind of little tiny unresolved things, you know, and sometimes big unresolved things. But, you know, and the thing is that they don't when I say resolved, it doesn't always mean that every conflict has to come to a mutually acceptable resolution, although that would be wonderful. But as Gottman and John Gottman, who's done a lot of research on marriage and relationships, has recognized that even in the most wonderful marriages, that there are many conflicts that just are never resolved. My conclusion from that is that the partners have decided that the relationship is more important than being right. That's, you know, would you rather be right than happy? You can choose to that the relationship is more important. And, you know, and that doesn't mean giving up your point of view, and or the other person giving up their point of view. And if they're different, it may be unresolvable. That doesn't mean the relationship has to falter. So now I want to talk about setting a limit. Basically, in this context, it's basically how to say no with love. Now, I mean, it's easy to say no. I mean, you've probably seen the bumper sticker, you know, no is a complete sentence. And, you know, for some reason, many of us just have a hard time saying no. And I think part of it is that you know, we feel we're being mean. You know, that we want to agree, and it's even more damaging when we agree when we don't mean it. So the context for this is a very deep subject. It, you know, when I teach this, it actually takes quite a while, because for some reason we don't learn how to deal with setting limits, and if you have, you can turn the segment off now. But the context now is that when the other person in the relationship, by relationship, it could be a friendship, acquaintance, colleague, employee, whatever, and obviously the context matter. I mean, if your boss says, okay, you know, do this, then you're kind of in a position where it can be difficult to say no, unless there's a very good reason, like, you know, ethical concerns or legal concerns, things like that. That, again, we're not talking about that. But the other person requests something, and you're absolutely clear that what is being asked is not acceptable. Okay, that is so important. You know, so that's the context of just this one. And again, as I said, there are so many different areas to deal with this scenario. And I'm just going to deal with this one today. So, and I'll start with some don'ts. So first of all, don't say yes when you mean no. That's you probably heard that said many, many times. Easy to say, can be hard to do. Don't agree with something that is not okay with you. And that's why, again, the starting point is that you are absolutely clear that what is being asked is not okay with you. Okay, but they want you to do it anyway. So don't argue. arguing just leads to arguments. you say, well, if I can't argue, then do I have to just go along? Well, just to hold on, we'll get there. Now, the thing is that if you are turning down this request, you don't have to defend or justify that. That's where so many people go wrong, or go off the rails, where it's like the more that you try to justify and defend, what you're essentially doing is you're trying to get the other person to agree with you. And the thing is that they're, in this context, they're probably not going to agree with you because there's a need that they have that they want you to meet. And as long as that need is unmet and they kind of have it in their head that they want you to do it, it's just not going to happen. Don't be a parent to them. Don't be a child to them. And above all, don't allow yourself to be manipulated. You know, a lot of times people, you know, we tend to try to manipulate others to get our needs met. A common strategy is to kind of manipulate someone into doing something without us having to be so direct about it, because that way is such a person a terrible person? Well, in the extreme, it can really be deleterious to a relationship. But the fact is, we all do it to one extent or another. And you know, if you think a little bit about some of your actions, you will see that there are times when you do it. I confess to having done it myself. But okay, so here are some do's though. So start by validating yourself. You have a right to your point of view. You have a right to not agree to something that's not acceptable. The flip side of that is to respect the other's right to their point of view, even if it's different. So if there's something that they want, then, you know, they have a right to that. So you know, here's where the conflict comes. Again, stay in your aware heart. I mean, seeing yourself is okay, see the other person is okay. And, you know, see if the request is actually a reasonable one. You know, now if, say yes, if and only if that you can do it with 100% almost joy. Yes, as one of my teachers once said, you know, that agree only if you can do it with the joy of a young child feeding ducks. If you ever seen kids feeding ducks, they you know, that kind of joy, joyful yes, is what is called for. And if you can't do that, then be clear in your mind about your no, but don't just kind of shut things. No, you know, that doesn't help the relationship. So let's, here are some examples. So you have a teenage daughter and it's getting late and she wants to take the car out and it's a school night. Are you okay with that? Most parents wouldn't be. You have a coworker, and the coworker has been slacking off, but they want you to cover for them. They want you to do their job for them. And you know, maybe on a one-time basis that may be okay, but this has happened a lot. Or somebody insults you. They say, you know, oh, you're so stupid. Is that okay? Or somebody tries to guilt trip you about, you know, well, if you just don't care about me. Or if you really loved me, you would do this. So if, now I've said, okay, you have to keep yourself okay. Keep the other person okay. Be clear about your no, but don't say no. So if you can't do that, then what can you do? Well, what I have is what I call the 1-2. And the one is to track and validate first. And the two is to then state your limit as with gentleness. And the amazing thing that I found is that the more gentle you assert yourself, the more firm it is. The more angry you try to assert yourself, ironically, the less effective it is. So begin by tracking, and remember, tracking uses the pronoun you, but is not a you statement. In other words, you don't want to criticize the tracking statement validates. So, you know, so your teenage daughter, you know, wants to take a car out. So there's something that you want to do, and it requires the car. Remember, validating is not agreeing. It's acknowledging what their thoughts and their feelings are about. Validate their desire for what they're requesting, or validate their disappointment if they don't get it. So could you cover for me this time? You know, so you would find it hard if that didn't happen. And in the process of tracking, use gentle challenges when appropriate. And I've talked about gentle challenges in other segments, and I'll talk more about it in future ones. But remember that a gentle challenge points out an incongruity without kind of rubbing their face in it or beating them over the head. So continue tracking until you get to their want. But then here comes the two, and this is where it's different from just plain tracking to only listen, is when you state your limit of what's acceptable. So you validated them down to what their want is. They feel so heard and understood that they really have nothing more to say about it. And I wish I could convey that a little bit more accurately in this context, but you'll have to come to my workshops to see more about it. But then, you know, state your bottom line. Keep your voice gentle and firm. One phrase I've found to be useful is, you know, I wish I was okay with that, and I'm not. Or I wish I felt comfortable allowing that, and since I'm not, I'm afraid it'll have to not happen. So if the dialogue has been initiated with a criticism, you know, say, you know, you're so stupid. Again, you know, start by tracking that, but then what the thing that's unacceptable is to be called stupid. I mean, who that's not good for the relationship. And so instead of just resisting immediately, again, the track, and then the two is something like, I'm always open to, you know, to hearing thoughts. What I'm not okay with is being called stupid or being called names. And if you hear the tone, it's not, you don't get angry in there. And yet, if you drop your voice at the end, it really conveys your, just how clear and how firm you are about it. So that does it for today's segment. I've talked about Q-tip, the second agreement, quit taking it personally, about how you don't want to, never want to play Ain't They Awful, the importance of staying conscious, and how to say no with love with the 1-2 to track, validate, and then restate your limit. And until next time, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate you joining me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at about 10 after 5. Right here on Good Vibrations Radio. If you want to learn more about effective listening, relationship building, and much more in my workshops, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. Like me on Facebook at AwareHeart. My Twitter handle, which I haven't really been tweeting much lately, is effect5com. That's effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. Someone was asking me about that. It's the effective. The five has F-I-V-E, you know, so effective. The effect five is kind of like effective. That's my little thing. And my website, of course, is www.consciousawareheart.com. On there, one of the pages on the website, I post audio files of these segments, so you can listen to this and to past segments. And I so appreciate your being with me today. And until next time, remember, listen from your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside.
So that was Speaking of Listening with Dr. Arnie Buss. We appreciate him taking the time to share his information with us, and you heard him. You can find him on Facebook at Aware Heart, or you can go to his website, ConsciousAwareHeart.com, to listen to past segments as well as find out about upcoming events. Speaking of upcoming events, we have some astrological situations that are going to play with us. You heard at the beginning where I spoke about that full moon solar eclipse on August 21st, leading up through last month's September new moon, and now our full moon in Aries that we had last week. All of that energy is pushing for us to take the opportunity to reframe and redo our lives, to build the dream life that we've been wanting, but we haven't taken the action to head toward. And this is saying, now's your time, just do it. Stop playing around. Go do it. Now, tomorrow, Jupiter will enter into Scorpio. And Jupiter is the planet of growth, expansion, positive energy, and goal achievement. And it's going into the shrewd, critical, cautious, and paranoid Scorpio. This may seem like a match made in hell, but this combination will actually allow you to accomplish a lot over the next year. But it's also going to stir up imagined slights and injuries that aren't real. So it requires us to pay attention. It requires us to really be giving our focus to what we're doing. Scorpio has trouble with trust. He loves to sour what was sweet due to his suspicions and paranoia. And on the other side, Jupiter in Scorpio is productive for any area of your life where you've been seeking answers. So this is the time over the next month where you're suddenly going to start getting answers, revelations, and understandings of things that have been bothering and troubling you for a while now. But remember, as I said, we're going to have this energy for a full year. So using that energy, this is the time to go after your goals and dreams with focused intention. See, everyone's going to feel the same passion and paranoia. So you want to tread lightly when dealing with others, but do go after whatever it is you want, as long as it's legal, it's honoring, and it's respectful. This is just an unusual combination of energies, the Jupiter and Scorpio, that can make the next year extremely productive, as I said, starting right now. And this goes on for the year, but the first few weeks, these next few weeks are the strongest as we adjust to it. So focus and get clear on what it is you want to draw into your life, what it is you want to see in your life. Don't focus on what you want to get rid of, because you'll be in the business then of focusing on what you don't want. You want to focus on what you want to draw in, what you want to have, and take steps in that direction. Remember, it's all about intention focused, followed by an action. It doesn't have to be big action, but it has to be an action. Now, on Wednesday, Mars in Virgo will square Saturn in Sagittarius, and a square, of course, is a fight. So Mars is our testosterone-laden aggressor, and arguing with the cold, hard disciplinarian of Saturn. You may find your own personal shortcomings coming to the forefront of your mind. You're going to start thinking about all the things you aren't, all the things you haven't done, and it could also come to the forefront of the minds of others at the same time. Your energy will be a little down on Wednesday. Now, this transit is at 6:37 a.m. Pacific time. That's 9:37 a.m. Eastern time. So you may find yourself resolving issues is harder and takes more time of anything that you have to do. So it will be a frustrating day for everyone involved. Remember, when these energies hit you, they're hitting everyone else also. Now, each of us may respond and react to them a little differently, but it's still the same as knowing when it's raining outside, the rain is coming down on everyone that's out there walking. So if you can focus on just one thing on Wednesday, focus on something where you can make some forward momentum, just a singular item, not 50 items, not multitasking to the max. The transit of Mars in Virgo squaring Saturn in Sagittarius is still about focusing your energy on what's important, not just what's available. People around you, especially those in authority, will happily point out how poorly you've been performing. They may not even realize that they're doing it. Just accept it. Let it happen. Let it be the proverbial water off the duck's back. As long as you carry, say, as little as possible, slow down, reassess what you are doing to see whether or not that criticism coming your way is really justifiable criticism. Now, it's going to seem justifiable in their eyes at the moment, or when you go to criticize someone else, it may seem justifiable in your eyes, but really this is the time to say little, slow down, reassess, and redirect and focus your energy where possible when you can. As long as you carry a handkerchief on Wednesday, as long as you drive the speed limit and you keep your tongue in check, this transit will pass with minimal impact. It just may be a day of having to listen to all the things you've done wrong. Let it be. Let it go. Move on. It'll be harder to pick up the pieces if you react to it. And then on the 14th, Venus will enter Libra. Now, Venus rules Libra, and it loves Libra. It loves being in Libra. So Venus will celebrate being placed in Libra for the next several weeks, and this will make it happy, joyful time for everyone. You'll find yourself picking the right colors to wear, the right clothes that feel right, saying the right things. You'll find yourself surrounding yourself with the right items and just plain feel that you shine, and you will. You may even find, for those looking for love, you may find love as long as it's not demanding. In other words, it would be the start of a love, not the love of a life. And this may not be the long-lasting love, since Venus is really more into appearances than substance. It can be a fun love as you go along. So it's a great time to find what you love most and bring it into your daily life. So play, shine, love, but keep your feet on the earth and enjoy. So there's a really transformative week coming forward as we move forward through the rest of this transformational energy. I want to just remind you that Good Vibrations Radio will be back on Monday, the 16th, from 5 to 6 p.m. with Joyce Muse from Pacific Astrology, and she'll give us the astrological outlook for the rest of this month of October and leading into November. Joyce will also be one of our featured readers at the Rota Psychic Fair on the weekend of the 21st and 22nd of October. We hope to see those of you in the local area there. And if you're not in the local area, feel free to fly in and join us. I want to thank you once again for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. And remember, no matter what else you do, turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.